Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Thursday, November the 20th, I'm Chelsea Messenger. Dende in for Jenks. And in a few seconds, we're going to bring on Jonathan Peterlin, afternoon drive host on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So, Den, right before we bring him on, I'm going to give you a question, and you hit the over or the under for me. Okay. So, I am going to say that on this station, I'm going to go 52% of the airtime is dedicated to Shedeur Sanders. You going to go over or under?
I'm going to go over. I mean, the Cavs played a tough one against the Rockets last night, but I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I should have noted that. I meant for, like, when you're talking about the Browns, like 52% of Browns talk is on Shedeur Sanders.
Oh,
but let's go straight to this. Right, that's what I thought. Like, it's such an interesting, and it's something that gets the people going. Like, we know talk radio. It's not always about, like, well, here's the real story for the Browns. No, people want to talk about the big names, and that's fine. But let's go straight to the source and ask him himself. Let's bring on Jonathan Peterlin now. He is the host of Afternoon Drive on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So, Jonathan, let me ask you, same question. Over, under, 52% of the time when you guys talk about the Browns is dedicated to Shedeur Sanders.
It's got to be over, but like it's over depending on the week, right? Like this week, it's over by a mile. This week, not only just like the 5-hour show that I do, the 5-hour show, I laid out yesterday, we did one Cavs segment. We did like half of a segment on Bill Belichick's girlfriend being in competitive cheerleading and why that's a thing. And outside of that, it was like 4 hours and a half about Shedeur Sanders. And that's basically been the week. And so, yeah, I would take the over on that one pretty easily. But we have to, you know, we'd be stupid not to, right, guys?
I mean, intramural adult cheerleading at that, which is just, you know, baffling. What is the feeling, though, with Shedeur Sanders?
Well, what has been nice, so it's been very divisive. If you're in Shedeur's camp, if you're not in Shedeur's camp, it's been very, everyone's got an opinion, right? But what's been nice is that after watching him play on Sunday, and the fact that Browns couldn't move the football at all with Dylan Gabriel, the offense had just stalled out. His average depth of target, his ADOT had been a 5. Like, he had been one of the lowest passers in the league when it came to stretching the field. Shedeur didn't look good. No one can make that look good. It looked bad, but at least he was throwing the ball down the field, and at least he gave the offense a chance. And so the numbers look awful. Your eye test tells you it was awful. But at the end of it, the offense seemed like it had life. And so what's been nice this week is that I'd say like 95% of Browns fans are in the camp of like, all right, we don't know that this is going to work, but at least this is fun. At least this is exciting. And on a 2-8 football team, that's kind of really all we're asking for at this point.
Yeah, but I will say this, like, if there's ever a matchup that should be conducive to maybe some improvements from the offense, it's going against the Raiders. The Browns are 4-point dogs on the road to the Raiders this week. Should we expect more from Shedeur in the offense this week?
So you should, relative to the Ravens game, obviously, because it can only go up from the Ravens game, right? Here's where I would have some caution. So I believe in Shedeur. I think he's going to be good, and I think the Browns are going to get the win, which I think I said that 2 weeks ago, and they took on a Jets team that they should have easily beat, and they embarrassed me, okay? So like this team is on a mission, it feels like, at times, to not win games. So I would use this advice, you know, cautiously. Here's where I would give a little bit of a pause. And like when you guys talk about this on Monday, if the game goes sideways, I want you guys to look at the other factors around Shedeur Sanders and be like, did anybody really have a fair shake at it? Not only are the Browns dead last in PFF when it comes to offensive line ranking, they're dead last with a bullet, and it feels like that. Your left tackle is consistently in and out. Your right tackle and Jack Conklin, you know the name because he's been a Pro Bowler for a long time. He hasn't been the same guy in years. But like all across this line, it is a lot of old and injured, and it's just at a spot where it stinks. And so like the offensive line isn't good. The wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy's your number one, and people argued for years what he is. Is he a one? Is he a two? What exactly is here? There's not much talent on this offense. So if it doesn't look good, yes, this is the right setup to look good for Shedeur, but if it doesn't look good, I could argue I don't know who would look good with this offense.
Because of those offensive line issues, are you anticipating that they're going to move the pocket, move him out of the pocket a little bit? Because I do think that he made a couple of good throws when he was, you know, rolling out to his right side.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm glad you picked up on that because, you know, Shedeur in college, obviously, he got critiqued all the time for basically running backwards is what ends up happening, right? And we saw it in some of the preseason games as well, and you saw it in that game against the Ravens. And so I think Stefanski is going to try to do some stuff where he rolls out, but the problem there is that every now and then Shedeur just thinks he can do too much. I think he looks at that move where he just kind of goes backwards and spins out of it. Every now and again he can. I think he looks at that as like a feature, whereas I think the Browns look at it as a bug. So I'm interested to find out myself what they do because he's got to get rid of the ball quicker, and he doesn't have much time. So he's got to do something. But we've seen some big losses and some big plays that just end up being minus 12 yards, minus 13 yards when that happens and he tries to do that.
I wanted to ask you this because obviously you have boots on the ground, and sometimes – I think the picture that is painted nationally of players, especially ones that have a last name like Sanders, sometimes it's a little unfair and sometimes we don't get the full context of quotes. But like some of these videos and quotes that we've seen from Shedeur Sanders, maybe he's making his own bed here. But do you think the narrative of Shedeur Sanders and his personality has been painted fairly by the national media?
Well, I guess, like, to start that convo, then I'd have to know what you guys think and, like, what your perception of it is. Because at this point, we already know this is the sad part. Like, and I genuinely do want your opinion on it because it feels like I know the different players in the different parts of the national media that, like, are pro Shedeur and anything he does is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I know the ones that it feels like the man just cannot buy a win. The man could be making a case where he's donating $100,000 to charity and they'd be like, why isn't it $200,000? Like, it feels like that happens with him a lot. So, like, I want to know your starting point and then maybe we can go from there.
Well, I wanted to know about, you know, some of the quotes that he's given were, I think to myself, maybe just don't say anything. And when I say that, I don't mean mime. Like some of the ways that he's handled some of this, because I understand it's been unfair and I feel like he's been pitted against Dylan Gabriel. That's what I mean.
So the pantomiming was weird. There's no making any sort of like that was a normal reaction. The pantomiming was definitely weird. I told you that I'm at the front of this. Like I defend Shedeur more than I feel like most people, but that's not because of anything outside of I just think he's been given a very unfair shake more than anything. But on top of it, like the interactions I've had and then also what I've seen have led me to believe that there's a lot of really good there. And just from like a take the football side away of this, that's a really good, and we only know these athletes to a certain spot, so I'm very careful with this, but I can genuinely say like he seems like a really good, well-balanced human. And so like again, I can't justify the pantomiming thing. If that took you off, that took you off. But what I have seen is at training camp, for instance,
at Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
He's the only player I saw wrap around the entire building and sign for an hour. You know what I mean? It seems like every other day we got a story about him either being out in the community, going to a local high school, and then donating a bunch of gifts, or like even just the other day, he donated to a mom that needed a ride to work, a brand new car. Like, and it's just like these type of stories have popped up every single week. And there's so many more that I've been told behind the scenes that have never even made it to the actual stories. Like, I think he's a genuine good dude, and you can tell that he also works really hard. Like some things people don't know is that when he wasn't getting enough reps on with the Browns, he was going to one of the local colleges and throwing to the local wide receivers there on Fridays just to make sure he can get extra work in. And like, you see those type of stories that have just popped up all the time with him. So I do give him the benefit of the doubt, and I think he's aced a lot of this in a way that I don't know that everyone really picks up on, because the stuff like the pantomiming was just weird. There's not really defending that.
I'm like kind of in the middle where I liked him in college. I'm a big college football guy, so I was like all over the Colorado stuff when it was happening, and I liked him in college. I didn't know that he should be drafted, you know, super high last year, but I thought he should have been drafted way before guys like Dylan Gabriel and Jalen Milroe. But I'm curious, because you are around, you know, Cam Newton came out here and said that Kevin Stefanski is trying to undermine Shador. What do you think their relationship is as someone that's actually around him?
So Kevin Stefanski seems like he really likes Dylan Gabriel, and he's liked Dylan Gabriel the entire time. Like, if you were to tell me how that draft day went down, I would make the suggestion that Kevin Stefanski, and maybe that includes Andrew Berry in this as well, because they always consider themselves collaborative. I always made the bet that they chose Dylan Gabriel, and I thought they rushed and chose Dylan Gabriel just so that they wouldn't be forced to take someone like Shador Sanders, so that Jimmy Haslam would be like, all right, we have our quarterback. You can't take two quarterbacks. And then you watched what happened, where then how I see it and how I think it went down was that Jimmy Haslam came in and was like, all right, you're taking Shador Sanders. And they've been trying to deal with it the entire time. Now, maybe we find out that I'm just dead wrong on that assessment, but that's how I see it. And so I've always looked at it like Stefanski has Dylan Gabriel as his pet project. And then Shador is just kind of, he's just kind of there. And now he's in a chance to be the starter for this week. So he'll have first team reps. So get an opportunity. Like, if I was Stefanski, I'd look at this as like, this could save my job. If he's awesome with this bad offensive line and this bad offense, like, maybe you save my job. Maybe we keep this thing going. But Stefanski has just never really, at least through actions, appeared to view it that way. And so it's always been a little befuddling to me.
Huh. It's crazy that you say that, and that's why we have guests come on to tell us what's actually going on. But I did want to slide in one question that wasn't about Shador. Lost in the sauce is that Myles Garrett is having a banner year. 15 sacks in 10 games. Mm-hmm. He is on pace for 25 and a half sacks this year. Do you think he breaks the single season sack record?
I do. It's incredible to watch. The only hang up is that, and this just happens with pass rushers, as you guys know, like, as the season moves on, they're just not as quick and they just don't appear to be as fast, and it just their sack numbers go down. But we talked about how bad this Raiders team is. I've never walked into a game being like, I expect three or four sacks, but now it's almost like if he doesn't get three or four against Geno, who's been sacked with top five in quarterbacks that have been sacked this year, I think he's fourth on that list, you're almost like, wait, what happened? What's amazing, here's the part I want to focus for you guys, because this is the part that is, I think, getting missed in the big picture conversation of it. The players around Miles, everyone's like, they're going to be the benefactors of this. You take Mason Graham at number five overall. You add Malik Collins. They're like, they're going to be the benefactors of playing with Miles, the way that we've always kind of talked about this with Miles. But it feels like they're actually benefiting Miles in a big-time way, because there's pass rush coming from everywhere. Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire, Malik Collins, Mason Graham, all these guys are just constantly giving off pressure, and it's helping out Miles in a big way. Lamar Jackson sacked number three on Sunday. Like, that doesn't happen in years past, but it happens now because you have pressure from other guys, and then they just funneled Lamar right into Miles' hands. And so there's been a lot of cool out of this, and it's been cool to see Miles just kind of take his game to another level, because he is unquestionably the best in the business.
Absolutely. And I will say this, if the defense plays well, it puts less pressure on a young quarterback to score a bunch of points. And I think that's going to be the case this week as we see a total that continues to absolutely sink to 36 points between the Raiders and the Browns. Great stuff today from Jonathan Peterlin. He is the Afternoon Drive host on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Great stuff today. You've given us a lot to think about.
Well, thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for hitting the over, too. We hit the over in this interview.
Ah, yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of Shadur talk in that segment, but it's just an interesting case. And listen, I wasn't prepared for some of those answers. Honestly, I thought Kevin Stefanski did not care and all he cared about was winning games, but I'm obviously not there at practice. I'm not there at camp. So that was really interesting to hear that.
Yeah, really good stuff. You know, that relationship with Stefanski and Gabriel has always been fascinating to me because I do think he's right that Stefanski sees something in Dylan Gabriel that, quite honestly, I don't see. I don't know that you see. I don't know that many people have seen. I'm pulling for Shadur to not suck this weekend. I don't think he's going to blow the doors off. You know, my expectations are realistic for what he is as a player. But I just hope he doesn't suck. It's going to be rage bait no matter what happens. You know, if he does play well, there's going to be people that are anointing him as the future of the franchise. And then on the flip side, if he's bad, there's going to be people that are, you know, dancing on his downfall. I don't find myself in either of those camps. I just want to see what he's actually made of at the NFL level. You know, I'm like weird about this sort of stuff, Chelsea. I love watching players in college that are good and then making that successful transition to the next level. But you know, I have seen a lot of guys in college the same way that you've seen a lot of guys in college who are really, really good, and they get to the NFL and they are really, really not good.
It's wild. Like, you would think that if you can be a good quarterback in like the SEC, like some of these guys that I covered, like when I covered Auburn and Alabama and Georgia, like, Aaron Murray had, like, crazy college numbers. And I understand, like, he's small, he's not an NFL prototype. But, like, you'd think that there would be some carryover, and there's just not.
Nothing. Manziel's another great example. Hits home for Cleveland, but Manziel's another great example. Heisman Trophy winner, does a bunch of crazy stuff, gets to Cleveland, and then for a number of reasons, it just never works.
Yeah, I think there was some other stuff baked into that one as well. But I was dead wrong on Johnny Manziel. I thought he was going to be awesome. Sad to see. All right, coming up next, best bets come your way in mere minutes on the Daily Tip. It's after the break. Next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.